Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. Hey, it's Tuesday, July 21st. So my cousin's husband booked a flight for her the other day, and I guess he accidentally used autofill for the name, which meant the ticket was actually under his name instead of hers. She found out 3 hours before the flight, but luckily, the date of birth he'd entered was actually hers, so the airline let her change the name on the ticket. But it got me thinking about how rigid airline tickets have become, how your name has to match your ID exactly or you're not getting on that plane. But the interesting thing is that this hasn't always been the case. Before September 11th, 2001, aka 9/11, you could transfer an airline ticket to someone else. You could walk all the way to the gate without a boarding pass just to say goodbye to someone. And the box cutters were legal to bring on board. The entire airport experience changed after 9/11, and most of us just accepted it because it felt like the obvious response to what happened. But security researchers have actually been arguing over 2 decades that a lot of what we do at the airport doesn't actually make us safer. And the 2 things that did make flying safer have nothing to do with the line that you stand in every time you fly. So that line that I was talking about is the Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, which was created in November 2001, just 2 months after September 11th attacks. Before the TSA existed, airport security was handled by private companies hired by the airlines themselves, and the screening was minimal by today's standards. You basically just walked through a metal detector, your bags went through an x-ray, and that was about it. There was no shoe removal or liquid restrictions or even full body scanners, and there was also no requirement that your name on the ticket matched a government-issued ID. The Aviation and Transportation Security Act changed all of that. It created the TSA as a federal agency with over 50,000 employees and an annual budget that has grown to $11 billion. It also required 100% of checked baggage to be screened by x-rays. It expanded the Federal Air Marshal Service to put armed marshals on more flights, and it mandated that airlines reinforce the cockpit doors on all aircrafts to physically prevent anyone from reaching the pilots during a flight. The other changes to security kept coming in response to specific incidents. In December 2001, a man named Richard Reed tried to detonate explosives hidden inside his shoes on a flight from Paris to Miami. He failed, but now every American has to take their shoes off at checkpoint. In 2006, British authorities disrupted a plot to blow up transatlantic flights using liquid explosives disguised as soft drinks. Well, the plot was stopped by intelligence agencies before anyone reached the airport. But now you can't bring more than 3.4 ounces of liquid through security. Each rule was a direct reaction to a specific attempt layered on top of the previous rules, and none of them have ever been removed even when the original threat evolved or disappeared. In 2015, the Department of Homeland Security ran a series of covert tests where undercover agents, known as red teams, posed as passengers and attempted to smuggle mock explosives and banned weapons through TSA checkpoints at major airports across the country. The agents succeeded 67 out of 70 times, which is a 95% failure rate. In one test, an agent set off the magnetometer alarm, was pulled aside for a pat-down, and TSA screeners still failed to detect a fake explosive device that was taped to his back. The results were so bad that the TSA's acting director was reassigned. A security expert named Bruce Schneier, who has been studying and writing about airport security since the early 2000s, coined the term security theater to describe what most of the TSA's procedures actually accomplish. Security theater means measures that create the appearance of safety without meaningfully reducing risk. Taking off your shoes, surrendering your water bottle, standing in a full body scanner with your arms raised. These are visible, time-consuming rituals that make you feel like something's being done, but the data suggests that they're not catching much. Schneier argued for years that 2 things actually made flying safer after 9/11, and neither of them involves the checkpoint line. The first is reinforced cockpit doors. After 9/11, Congress mandated that every commercial aircraft installs doors strong enough to withstand gunfire and small explosions. As long as the cockpit door holds, a hijacker cannot control the plane, which means the entire pre-9/11 hijacking strategy of using a weapon to gain access to the flight controls is no longer working. Kip Hawley, who ran the TSA from 2005 to 2009, said directly, Never again will a terrorist be able to breach the cockpit simply with a box cutter or a knife. The cockpit doors have been reinforced. The second change was behavioral. Before 9/11, the established protocol for passengers during a hijacking was to cooperate, stay calm, and then wait for the plane to land so that negotiations could begin. That protocol assumed that the hijackers wanted to land the plane somewhere and then make demands, which is how nearly every previous hijacking had worked. On September 11th, once passengers on United Flight 93 learned through phone calls that other hijacked planes had been flown into buildings, they'd realized the old rules no longer applied and fought back. The plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania instead of reaching its target. Since that day, every potential hijacker knows that passengers will fight, which fundamentally changes the risk calculation for anyone planning to use a plane as a weapon. That behavioral shift cost $0 and required no government agency to implement. There's one more detail about the TSA that I didn't know until I looked into it this week, and it kind of reframes the whole experience. TSA agents cannot arrest you. They are not law enforcement. They have no arrest authority, no badges, and no guns. If they find something illegal in your bag, whether it's a weapon or drugs or anything else, their only option is to call local police or federal agents to the checkpoint and hand the situation over. The dogs you see at the airport are mostly there for explosive detection, not drugs. And the TSA has publicly stated on their website that they are, quote, not looking for marijuana or any other illegal drugs, end quote, during the screening process. Their job is to find threats to aviation safety. Weapons, explosives, and items that could be used to harm an aircraft. If they happen to discover drugs during a routine screening, they notify local police, and what happens next depends entirely on where you are and what state law says. In states where marijuana is legal, the local cops often just tell you to leave it behind. In states where it isn't, the local officers can arrest you, but remember, TSA cannot. So, the agency that screens roughly 2.5 million passengers per day employs over 50,000 people, and operates on an $11 billion annual budget, cannot make a single arrest. The people checking your bags have less legal authority than a mall security guard. The actual security, the reinforced doors between you and the cockpit, and the willingness of passengers to intervene exists entirely independent of the checkpoint you spend 45 minutes plus standing in. So here's what you should remember about this episode. The first and most important thing is that flying really is much safer than it was before 9/11. But the reason of why it's safer has nothing to do with the experience you go through at the airport every time you fly. The reinforced door and a change in passenger behavior did more for aviation security than an $11 billion agency that fails 95% of its own internal tests and can't make an arrest. The shoes, the liquids, the body scanners, none of those rules have ever been rolled back, even when the specific threats that inspired them no longer exist. We're still taking off our shoes because of one guy who failed to light his sneakers on fire in 2001. And we'll probably be doing it forever, to be honest, because removing a security measure is politically impossible, even when the data says it isn't working. Bruce Schneier called it security theater, and once you see it that way, the airport never quite looks the same. Stay informed, stay curious, have a safe flight wherever you're going, and we'll see you tomorrow.